May the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ enlighten the eyes of our hearts, that we may know what is the hope that belongs to our call.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the journey but a walking stick, no food, no sack, no money in their belts. They were, however, to wear sandals, but not a second tunic. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave. Whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them." So they went off and preached repentance. The 12 drove out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord. We're in St. Mark chapter 6, and remember, Mark is the Gospel, it's the shortest of the Gospel. In Mark speaks in the most abbreviated of terms, but even though the length of the gospel is rather short, Mark does give us a lot of important details. And here he's giving us an account of Jesus' commissioning of his 12 apostles to go out to teach and to heal, which is kind of a preview of the mission which Jesus gives to the church after his resurrection. If you look at just what he writes here, we can see that Jesus is not a megalomaniac. He delegates authority. He has a team around him, and he gives real responsibility to the members of his team. He's the head and foundation of his kingdom, but he gives his trusted followers real responsibilities in spreading and defending the kingdom. Now, this first missionary trip of the 12 apostles shows that Jesus is already preparing them to be his messengers, to teach, to administer his healing power in his name, in essence, to be dispensers of his grace, which is, you might say that in summary, that's what the church does today. You know, some people today who are not Catholic like to make the claim that the hierarchical structure that the Catholic Church has was something that was never intended by Jesus, but in reality, nothing could be further from the truth. Rather, what, from at least a Catholic perspective, is a little bit strange is the counter view, the counter idea that the Church is purely a spiritual and intangible reality. And that idea has no basis in sacred scripture or in history. Jesus Christ is God, but he's also fully human. And his kingdom, his church, manifests in its human structures what is informed, empowered, and guided by the Holy Spirit. So we Catholics believe that a faithful follower of Jesus Christ has no choice but to be a faithful member of his visible church. It is true there is a invisible element or reality to the church itself, and not all those who visibly seem to be in the midst of his visible church are necessarily united to Jesus Christ. And we know that there are also those who are outside the visible Catholic Church whose love for Christ, whose union with Christ, you might say, maybe even more close, more intense than some of us who are here in the visible church. But the visible church is a reality, and that was Jesus' intention. Now, he launches this structured hierarchy, you might say, in order to extend his own mission of preaching, instructing, healing, and it's not in order to dominate people in a political sense. St. Mark makes a point of highlighting how the apostles anointed the sick and the sick were healed. And this is, of course, the origin of the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. And it's a very vivid example of the type of power wielded by a savior who builds up, who in fact brings people together, and who is not tearing down. Now, we know that every single Christian baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit shares in Jesus' mission, and we all are members of his body. Every Christian shares in his apostolate, in his ministry in some way. Every Christian is sent to bear witness by the total reality of our lives to Christ, to bring his wisdom, his healing touch to those who are in need, both spiritually and physically. And under the direction, inspiration, supervision of our Holy Father and our bishops, you and I are called to spread the kingdom, to be evangelizers. It's by analogy that Jesus' instructions to his first followers also apply to you and me. And I would say that those instructions might be summed up in two words, trust and perseverance. They and you and I were also told to travel light. Every need they and we have along the way will be met. But our needs will be met by God's providence, not by our own self-sufficiency. And I think that the area where that's kind of most challenging for most people has to do with, if I'm correct, with material needs and needs perhaps in the area of health. And when things don't seem to go right, we can begin to be challenged in the area of trust and certainly in the area of perseverance. But we are to trust God to sustain our efforts. We must not give up. And even when we face opposition, persecution, or a cold welcome, which we know is sure to happen, we are not to be deterred. We're not to be discouraged. Trust and perseverance, these are the two qualities that we really need to, all of us, kind of work in holding on to. Jesus' instructions to the 12, of course, echo what God instructed the 12 tribes of Israel almost 2,000 years before when they were in slavery in Egypt. And on the eve of the Israelites' exodus from Egypt, they were told to travel light. They were sent out with no bread, with only one set of clothes, wearing sandals, carrying a staff. And like the Israelites, the apostles and us, we're expected to rely only on the providence of God and on his grace. Now remember, on another occasion, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will give you rest. Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." And maybe that's also what he means by traveling light, by being lowly, by being meek, not needing to push myself ahead. Whatever burdens us and keeps us tied down, whatever makes it hard to pray, hard to give of ourselves, we're to let go in order to share what we have. And it means realizing that I have nothing to lose, really, nothing that, because there's nothing that can separate me from the love of Jesus Christ. It means that the more I share Christ and his love, the more I know that I myself will never run out of that love or be abandoned by him. Traveling light, I think it means also giving everything, even our own selves. What do we need to get rid of? Of course, we know what they are. Our egos, our pride, our insecurities. Our anxieties are sometimes difficult to get rid of, and whatever other preoccupations we have. But we are to give up ourselves and to follow him. And then we'll be clothed with the joy of praise that we hear St. Paul write about in his letter to the Ephesians. We can know that we can become rich in the gifts of, we're told, wisdom, forgiveness, and truth, to the extent that we become poor in ourselves. And that's the inheritance that Jesus Christ wants to give to us. His inheritance is nothing like an earthly inheritance that sometimes people find themselves fighting over to get what they claim is theirs. We don't need to try to glorify ourselves, because we will be covered with God's own glory. By God's will, each of us here this morning, from the foundation of the world, has been chosen to be one of God's adopted sons or daughters, to live for the praise of his glory. And let us this morning give thanks for these blessings and resolve to further the mission that Jesus has given us in his church, to courageously help others to hear the call to repentance and to welcome Jesus Christ into their lives.